wherever I'm not, I you know, that doesn't make any sense. Edit that bit out, Richard. Hello and welcome to the D20 Future Show. I am, as always, your host and your GM, Richard. Today we have the second of our extended Dragon Meet interviews. This time we speak to Jordan from Modified Role and Actual Play UK. Our live stream show, the D20 Future Show Live, is on a brief work travel related hiatus, but we should be back on the 9th of March when, for the first time on the stream, the D20 Future Show cast will be playing Grant Howitt and Chris Daler's singular masterpiece, Jason Statham's Big Vacation, the game of looking after Jason Statham while he's on holiday. By the time you listen to this, the VOD of the latest stream, the D20 Future Show Plays Adventure Skeletons, should still be available. Both of these will be available on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/D20Future Show. My easy-to-pick-up D20-powered fantasy RPG fantasy adventure is, for a few days only, still part of the delightful little bundle called the New Beginnings TTRPG Bundle on itch.io. For only $20, you can pick up a bundle of 60 easy-to-learn TTRPGs, including Once Upon a Birthday by Lynn M. Meyer, Star Scouts by Aaron Goss, Story Guider Remember Your Training by TTRPG Kids, and Shadow Wizard Money Gang by FN Games. You'll find links to this bundle on all the D20 Future Show's social media posts, or just search for New Beginnings TTRPG Bundle on itch.io. Before we get started, you will probably hear some strange piano playing in the background of this interview. That would be my wife, who is running a student through some vocal exercises, which explains the noises and gives me an excuse to remind you that my wife is a super talented vocal coach, working with singers and public speakers with expertise in accents and vocal recovery. If that sounds relevant to your interests, you can find out more about her online lessons at www.legacyvocalcoaching.co.uk. Now, let's chat to Jordan. Hello and welcome to the D20 Future Show. I am, as always, your host, Richard, and today I have with me Jordan, the DM of Modified Role. How are we doing, Jordan?
Hello!
Good evening.
How are things? You are still in the kind of the afterglow of Dragon Meet, or is that forgotten and long gone now?
Well, considering I only finished editing up our live show, which I think we're going to talk about in a bit, last night, still very much basking. I nearly gave myself several asthma attacks while editing that, because of how much it was making me laugh, so it's still very much fresh in my mind.
Excellent. I have this year's Jason Statham in the can, ready to edit, but my wife was laughing hysterically at last year's, which she's finally got around to listening to, so
excellent.
I should stress that I finally got around to releasing it only a couple of months ago, so she hasn't been sitting at it for a year.
No.
But yeah, it's great fun revisiting those games.
My other half decided that she was going to do a bit of her blog work at my desk the other night for some reason, which she never does, while I was editing. So we're both just sat next to each other with our headphones on, and she kept looking over and giving me dirty looks because I was crying with laughter trying to edit this. So it went well.
We will definitely come back to Dungeons & Dragons The Pantomime Part 2.
Yes.
But first, how was your Dragon Meet in general?
It was very good. This year, unfortunately, we only had myself and Danny from Modified Role who could make it. We had Maddie there as well last year. She was sorely missed, unfortunately. She was already pre-booked at MCM Birmingham. But yeah, we had very much enjoyed it, as always. Danny had a chance to go and meet up with the POC lounge that was set up by the guys at Three Black Halflings, so she got to go and meet a few people in the industry that she's not got to meet before. We had a great time catching up with all of our friends in the podcast zone, and I think actually, yeah, we met a few people we'd never met before, which is always lovely. Mm-hmm. And then we did our live show, and unfortunately I spent a lot of time at the table, so I only got to spend about 15 minutes attending the actual halls and didn't get to see any other live shows because of how busy we were. But that's always nice to be busy. So yeah, I very much enjoyed it, and I'm already looking forward to next year's.
Yeah, I kind of came away thinking, I think I'd do things differently. I think I might need to play some games.
Yeah. Well, to me, I'm not even thinking about playing games. I'm thinking we need to bring more people from our podcast and actually get them there so that I can go and like peruse the halls for a bit.
Absolutely, yeah. No, having been basically a one-man band at Dragon Meet for some years, I either am at the table or I'm perusing the stalls or I'm at a live show. And I saw a couple of live shows this year. I saw the Three Black Halflings show was at the end.
Yeah.
Early doors, I was kind of guilted into attending the Merely Role Players live show. The idea was you created fanfic of fairy tales
fanfic mismatch, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. Which actually was great fun. I in no way resent having been guilted in.
Yeah, I also like to say guilted into, and not I was so eager and keen I had to reserve a space.
Well, it was not the trouble with the early slot. I know the pain of having the early slot in the show, is it's not that well attended, and Mira kind of, it was either Mira or Fiona gave me a bit of a look that was like, you could go. And I thought, yes, I could go, but actually I had a brilliant time. It was great.
Yeah, firstly, I had put armour on, so I wasn't about to put armour on to then go and sit and watch a show for an hour. I was very much there attending our table in my armour.
Yeah, but I did get away from the table. I did get to peruse the stalls a little bit, although I didn't buy anything.
Shocking.
Which, I mean, confused even me, but I came away just thinking, oh yeah, but I've got lots of games.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe it's just that I've just moved house, and so I've packed all my belongings into boxes and have yet to unpack them all.
Realise how many you have.
I've got lots of games that I haven't played, and I'm trying to play them, and I keep backing things on Kickstarter, and I'm trying not to do that either.
This is why I don't buy a lot of role-playing games, because I know ultimately I'm going to end up playing D&D. Learning to play Vicen for the actual Play UK stream was a real joy, because it actually gave me an excuse to learn another role-playing game. In terms of board games, we have plenty in the house, and we do occasionally play them. I still buy a board game every now and then. Actually, I'm waiting on Mycelia to come that we saw at UK Games Expo. I'm actually really excited about that one.
Okay, yes, I think I heard something. Tell me about Mycelia.
It's sort of, are you aware of Photosynthesis, the board game?
No.
It's the one about growing trees. My understanding is it's similar idea, but with mushrooms. Like, you're growing mushrooms, and you're trying to grow your mushrooms better than your opponents are. There's more to it than Photosynthesis. There's like cards and stuff to play. We met the developer who was just starting his Kickstarter whenever UK Games Expo last year came around, and it has since been successfully funded, so I'm already very excited to get that. The art on it is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Considering it is a bunch of mushrooms, gorgeous.
Again, board games, I try not to buy too many because there's only so many I play, and I have.
Yeah.
I've got Galaxy Trucker, so that's the main one. I have Galaxy Trucker, I have Solar Storm, which is Dranda Games' kind of cooperative. You're on a ship, it's falling into the sun, you're all going to die unless you repair the ship.
Nice.
Which is really good. My wife prefers cooperative games rather than competitive, so...
Yeah, see, my other half's much more into the cooperative ones, so we ended up getting like Pandemic and Betrayal, House on the Hill, but of course, you need guests to play House on the Hill, so...
Yes, you do, yeah. Pandemic's one of those ones I haven't got yet, but at some point... But the thing is, I know someone with Pandemic, so when we get together to play board games, normally Alid brings Pandemic, and so we can play it, because, yeah, it's also really good.
Yeah, we got the Legacy one, because obviously you can play it as a two-player game, and you develop. Yes. But the problem is, if you go a few months without playing it, you then have to relearn the rules, and you sit down and you go, let's just play King of Tokyo. We know the rules to that one.
King of Tokyo is a great game. That's a lot of fun as well. Mm. So you didn't get a lot of time to browse the stores. You didn't get a time to play anything that wasn't D&D.
No, unfortunately, played our live show as the ran the live show as the DM. Didn't get a chance to play in any of the other games. Unfortunately, it was just, as with Dragonmeet every year, it's a one-day event. You can only do so much, especially if you're there as part of the podcast zone, if you need to be sort of on the stall. So, unfortunately, didn't get to play any games, but did have a very brief perusal of the stalls and chatted to a few people.
But you did do a little bit of shopping. What did you pick up at...
Danny ended up speaking to one of the members of the Role and Play publication team, the developer group. Mm-hmm. Not sure the right word, because they do publications. They're not a games developer, but they do publications for D&D. And I came away with One Shot Wonders, which I believe they were doing the promotion for last year. And I remember getting one of the little leaflets that was advertising it. So I've come away with a lovely copy of One Shot Wonders, which is 100 session ideas. So just little one-shot game ideas that you can run in a session or a couple of sessions if you want to flesh it out a little bit. I've got that and fully intending to run a few of these during the podcast game, just to see how well they slot into an ongoing campaign. And I ended up buying that specifically because I had bought last year at Dragonmeet Role and Play's Game Master's Fantasy Toolkit. I think the version I got they don't do anymore. I think it's been split out into several standalone little kits. But this is just a very simple DM'd toolkit that runs you through sort of NPC, on the fly NPC generation, quick world building if you need to quickly throw together a town or a city or something. Some very quick sort of encounter concepts. I've just flicked it open to pages I don't even usually look at, but illnesses and ailments you can give your players, diseases, who doesn't want to give their players a disease? some very quick items and rewards. And it's a lovely little like quick, you know, roll for this booklet that has been as part of my DM go bag for a year since I've got this. I've been using this a lot, especially when a player says, "What's his name? I don't fucking know. You're supposed to talk to this guy for 30 seconds and then go and get the MacGuffin. Let me just roll on a table here." It's very useful for that.
Excellent.
But yeah, no, I'm really excited to use One Shot Wonders. The art for the illustrations are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the bits I have read so far, they are like really easily laid out. They break it down based on your locations, the levels. They give you a very quick rundown of what you can get from this, what could be, you know, the suggestion for how the players run into this. So yeah, I'm really excited to use this. It seems very helpful.
Hopefully, very possibly. I mean, it looks a bit hefty to be added to the go bag, but I suppose...
I think the One Shot Wonders is the sort of thing where it's part of your session planning, as opposed to, I'm holding it up to the camera, but nobody else can see that.
Yeah.
It's an A4 hard. I've got the hardback. I think it's only hardback possibly, but you can get a PDF copy, so you could throw it onto your tablet or laptop or whatever. But the hardback is a bit hefty to be putting in your bag. But I would use it for session planning when I'm sitting down thinking, what am I going to do in this session? The guys are sort of in between bits. I need to fill out a bit of the story here, so I'm going to use one of the one-shots. Or I'm actually going to flick through, because I think just from when I originally flicked through it after Dragon Meet, there were a couple that might actually work quite well with some of my characters, like player character background stories mm-hmm. that I'm planning to pepper in.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to try and work one or two into those to save me a bit of work. But also because they're really well written and I'm really excited to use it. So
yeah, so having a quick look on their website now. So the Game Master's Fantasy Toolkit, they've got a sci-fi one as well. I mustn't buy any more stuff. I have too many things. And in particular, I've got lots of campaigns that I intend to run, which of course are full of...
Yeah.
They've already got NPCs and fleshed out and all that jazz. But yeah, I've got a long list of things I want to run. And I'm running the Expanse RPG campaign at the minute,
mm-hmm.
the Abzu's Bounty. I have the Pacific Rim Cinematic Adventure for Everyday Heroes.
Okay.
Big Pacific Rim fan, so I often claim it's the humanity's high point of art is Pacific Rim. It is a movie where giant robots punch monsters in the face. It's unironically great. And the sequel's pretty good as well.
I will say, it is a guilty pleasure. I do, like, enjoy watching. Story is, at best, media, especially the second one. The second one, they just go fully off the rails, jump the shark. But as something to sit down, switch your mind off, and just enjoy, like you say, it's giant robots punching giant monsters. What isn't there to enjoy about that?
Absolutely. Although, disagree, the story's great as well. So are the characters.
I'm sorry. The second movie, the plot is that a human is like, I'm going to side with the monsters. What?
I would suggest, knowing humanity as I do, that somebody somewhere would almost certainly side with the monsters.
But... Certainly. But I would expect a politician, not a scientist.
Okay, without wishing to go too deep into the lore, I just think it's...
This is not a Pacific Rim podcast.
This is part one of our 80-episode series. I just really like that it's a mystery. It's just a different,
yeah.
It's a totally different kind of genre of story than the first one, which is a kind of straight up the best Saturday morning cartoon show ever made.
That's actually a good way of looking at it. It's Saturday morning cartoons for adults.
It is, absolutely. It would have blown my mind as a child that this was coming.
Ah, yeah.
Yes. Guillermo del Toro made a magnificent movie, and I'm kind of sad he didn't make any more Pacific Rims, but... The Everyday Heroes role-playing game has the Pacific Rim license.
Okay.
They have a so-called cinematic adventure, which is I think it's like a short campaign arc. And they also have a full campaign book, which I didn't back on Kickstarter because I haven't run the cinematic adventure yet.
Yeah.
But when it hits their store, I'm going to buy it. It will be mine. Yeah, I have that. And I have this. I have a D&D campaign idea in my brain that I want to run based off... something I bought from Ian World's, their little quick starters. I don't know if you've seen those.
I haven't.
Every now and again, and it's quite frequent, they run little short Kickstarters based on, I think it's stuff they give away as they kind of write for their Patreons, but you can back them at a small cost as a PDF or a bit more as a hardback. Oh, is that as a softback? And they did one on puzzles that I was like, oh yes, I'm not good at writing puzzles for for D&D, so I have that. And I have Can We Keep It, which is for pets, rules for how to manage taming pets and then having pets, and then some sample fantasy pet creatures as well.
See, the problem is I do like making puzzles. I consider puzzles part of trap making.
Yep.
My problem is I either make them so incredibly convoluted that players could never work it out, or so easy they get it in 5 minutes. So having a template that's, you know, this has been tried and tested and we know works, it's always good.
The idea is a sort of nested box that's going to be the framing device for the campaign. That's the idea. So anyway, I've got that. There's a bunch more everyday hero stuff I have, and so on. So I've got this big laundry list of stuff that I'll clearly never get around to running. So I don't want to buy any more because I've got too much. But also, I think people keep publishing things that are great.
Yeah.
And I have on its way. I have Once More Into the Void, which is Mass Effect 2, the role playing game with the serial numbers filed off.
Yes, I had heard of that.
Which I'm excited about.
Funnily enough, actually, there's one of the people I need to contact through as Actual Play UK, not as Modified Role, but I need to contact them because I'm assuming they would have spoken to you as well at Dragon Meet. But there was two fellows came and spoke to us who were obviously friends, but from two different like publishing groups.
Yep.
And one of them had the rights, I believe, to Cowboy Bebop, and they were doing a Cowboy Bebop role playing game.
Uh-huh.
And there was another one, which unfortunately I am struggling to remember, who also had a pretty fucking cool license as well, which I am unfortunately struggling to remember now.
Do you want to talk about so last year you ran D&D the Pantomime, which is an idea you've just kind of had cooking for a little while.
It was, well, I'm not going to lie, I know for a fact I'm not the first person to merge D&D and Panto. It's happened.
Of course.
But my other half does a theatre review blog, Theatre and Tonic, just going to drop a quick promo for that in here. She is way more popular than I'm pretty sure both of us combined, so I don't think she needs me helping. But because of that, we tend to attend and review, less so now because she has like a group of writers doing a lot of stuff for the website.
Mm-hmm.
But up until this year, we were attending like 8 to 10 pantos every season to review for her blog.
Wow, that's a lot of pantos. Even for someone who really likes pantos, which I do, 10 is a lot.
It is. Well, that's the thing, like, you went in your review, and because it's a panto, you're not giving them, like, a proper review. Like, she's now decided, actually, going forward, like, from this year, she's not even going to, like, star rate them, because it's a panto. You're not going for, like, highfalutin acting or whatever, you're going because it's funny. But there are some that are crap. Let's be honest, there are some pantos out there that are just crap. But yeah, so it's been in my head, like, percolating for years, being like, there are concepts in this that would work really well in D&D. Some that wouldn't, as we discovered when we tried it in the live show the first time. But there are some concepts that just work really well. It's like you put a bunch of, like, it's like when people say Monty Python is if you tried to make a Lord of the Rings group play D&D.
Hmm.
Or sorry, it's where you try to make a group play D&D in a Lord of the Rings settings, it ultimately becomes Monty Python. I think panto is the same. Panto is if you gave guys a Christmas themed story in D&D, a panto is what you would get out.
Yep.
Just lots of innuendo, stupid jokes, cutaway gags, and it's just not serious at all. So I thought about that for ages. Most of the guys on our podcast aren't nearby. Now with like the new season and Danny's like the closest to me. She's like a 20-minute drive up the road, but we have guys out near Wales. We have guys right down south of the coast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the chances of, if we're ever going to do like a live show, we'd have to have guys like travel all the way up here to stay over and do all this. So it's kind of hard to even pitch to someone because it's not like we can even turn up as a group and be like, here's what we do.
Hmm.
So whenever we were told last year, it's like, oh, you guys can do live shows at Dragon Meet. I was like, can I please run a really dumb panto game? And for some reason, they let me. So for those who haven't heard it or seen it, our first year last year, I ran it with Danny and Maddie from our podcast and Emily and Shamini from RP Geeks. Maddie is I don't think she does it anymore, but has been like a panto DM, so she has like proper DM costumes already. Danny, Emily, and Shamini all got into it, like straight into character, and we had an absolute blast. We tried to do some things. For those familiar with panto, there's quite often the scene where they're being like chased and spooked by the ghosties and ghoulies, and there's quite often like they sit down on a log, they sing a song to scare off the ghosties, and then somebody comes out and they all get scared off one by one. It's the eponymous scene with the whole, he's behind you. That bit is usually that scene. We tried to do that as part of the live show, and it did not work. It was funny, but it did not work.
It was, listener, I was there. It was total chaos. And I think Just part of the beauty of that scene was watching you get more and more upset, Jordan, because they'd rehearsed this. They knew what they were supposed to be doing, and yet they were acting like...
Okay, so rehearsing is a strong word.
They were acting like you'd sprung the concept of performance on them without any warning. They had no idea what they were doing, and you were quite upset about that.
Yeah, rehearsing is a strong word. We discussed it. Once in a Teams call, and then once 5 minutes before the show started.
But it was very funny, but it didn't necessarily hang together.
It culminated, that specific scene culminated with me in the fetal position with a sheet over my head, pretending to be a ghost.
You know it's a strong Dungeons & Dragons session when the DM feels the need to curl up into the fetal position.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because this year we did Dungeons & Dragons The Panto Part 2, The Re-Pantoing, or Return of the Panto, or... Electric Boogaloo. I never really settled on a full title, so I think I've renamed it everywhere I've posted about it. This year, we went for a full sort of like cross-section of players from different shows, simply because without Maddie making it this year, it was me and Danny, so we had Danny as one of the players, so I just went, fuck it, let's see how many different shows we can get people from. So once again, we had Emily returning, just so we had one other person familiar with the concept. We then got Naomi, who's done so many amazing things with her current project, I believe, is Secrets of St. Kilda. And we had Liv from the Three Black Halflings, which we were incredibly chuffed to get her to come and take part in this absolute fucking nonsense. Right out of the bat, I knew that this was going to be even more chaotic than last year. Simply because whenever we were doing like the Discord chat to decide what everyone's characters were going to be, I was sort of like, I said to the guys, right, everyone pick their characters, like discuss amongst yourselves. And I just sort of kept an eye on it. I wasn't actively engaging until I saw Naomi message Liv to say, hey, should we be the two halves of a pantomime horse? And I immediately had to jump in to be like, I need clarification. Do you mean like two people in a shitty horse costume? Because I can work with that. And they were like, no, two halves of a horse. I was like, yeah, you do whatever you want, but you have to the reason why this works. Yeah, there are some photos of the show, which I've since put on Instagram. And I think the one that sort of captures the feeling of the show is just a photo of me with my elbows leaning on the desk and my head fully in my hands, which I think I did roughly once every 10 minutes during the show.
I have yet to listen. It was the one live show I didn't go to because I really had to go and do some interviews and browsing, so I'm looking forward to the recording. Listener, track down last year's and this year's.
Well, funny enough, you're not the only one. Yes, you're also not the only one, because I discovered after the fact that we were also the only live show that the professional photographer who was going to be taking photos of everything didn't attend.
Oh.
So we are the only live show. Luckily, one of the other guys, I think it was one of the guys from, was it Merely Role Players? It was one of the other guys who took the photos of our live show. So we were incredibly chuffed to have some photos, and he did a fantastic job of them.
Hmm.
Oh, it was Who Lives Who Dies. It was Matt Bateman from Who Lives Who Dies. He took some fantastic photos. But Naomi, or Fiona, had been telling us, oh, we've got this professional photographer, he's going to come and take photos of everything on podcast and on the live shows. We were the only show we didn't attend. Which, to be fair, might because we filled the room, so I don't know if he was like, I think there might have been like too many people, and he's like, I'm not going to try and move around all these people. So maybe that was why. That's my sort of way of like lessening the blow, making myself feel better. We were too busy for him to attend, that was what it was.
Yeah, I mean, that would explain it. Yeah, last year I think I went and got extra chairs.
Yeah.
And we were told this year, don't get any extra chairs. There are fire regulations.
Yeah, we very much stole, because so many people tried to come last year that we ended up like stealing a good number of. It wasn't like one or two. I think we ended up stealing like 10 to 15 extra chairs from the room next door. We were specifically given a warning in like the preparation emails this year in bold, do not take chairs from other rooms.
Yes, yeah. I was responsible for some of that. I was like, well, there are chairs in other rooms and there are people who need chairs. I could, but no, but words like fire regulations were thrown around. So
yeah.
Not this year, but yeah. But the process of, I mean, live shows are weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, certainly for the D20 Future Show, listener, I use the singular for good reason. We're not that popular, so going, come and sit in a room and see our thing is always a bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Particularly as you're kind of aware that the population of the attendees of Dragon Meat, the sub kind of set of those that has any idea what a podcast is, or
yeah.
I mean, obviously live performance, live play shows are way more popular than they were. Critical Role managed to fill out Wembley.
Yeah.
We're basically the same thing as that.
Just as popular. Just as well known.
maybe not maybe not quite as popular, but we're basically the same thing in that we're playing the game in front of people.
Yeah.
Obviously as good, but just not quite as popular. That's the thing. But there's a bit of a kind of nerves as, will anyone turn up? And you know, will enough people turn up
for
this isn't weird because there's only two people? Certainly, I mean, I guess that was less of a nerve this year on the grounds that...
We've done it once.
You've done it last year and you packed the place out.
Yeah.
Which the Jason Statham Live didn't quite do that, but we had enough to make it work, which was, it was a great relief. But it's scary.
I still feel bad because obviously I came to watch Jason Statham's last year and I had to leave because I was coughing so hard. I did genuinely give myself an asthma attack. So I had to leave halfway through the show because I was laughing too hard. I still feel bad about that, but it just attests to how funny it was. So
it was excellent. The recording listener is probably still available on our podcast feed. Do track it down if you haven't. If you've only listened because you want to catch up with hear what Jordan has to say on a new podcast, I mean, subscribe, like, and subscribe. But also do go back and listen to that. It was great fun. We have this year's as well, which may or may not go out before this interview. I haven't decided. I haven't got a production schedule. I just keep editing stuff until I can release it.
Yeah, whatever's finished first can go out.
But how does your kind of preparation for the session, how is that different from a normal D&D session?
So after last year I did put in quite a bit of prep. Like, we only got confirmation the show was happening like a month or two, I think, before the event last year, and I full panicked. I had so many notes written out. This year we got approval for the show much earlier, but I ended up confirming the last of the guests much later. And having seen how chaotic it went last year, my notes consisted of, I wrote out like six scenes, which were going to be the introduction scene, the end scene, and then four encounters, which I think I ended up paring down to three encounters, or did I do all four? This thing, I can't even remember now what happened. It's all a blur. I'm trying to think now. I think it was either three or four encounters. And the notes I wrote for all of those were the name of the panto it was based off of, or the fairy tale, as it normally, you know, depending on what way you're looking at it. The MacGuffin that the villain needed, because it's not really much of a surprise, because it is revealed in the introduction to the game. But this year, Naomi messaged me in private to be like, can I be the villain? And I was like, why the fuck not? So we had one of the players was the villain the whole time, in air quotes, secret, because they reveal it in the introduction, as we did like a little like introduction to the game, which, by the way, none of the other players knew about. This was the thing that I had the most preparation for. Similar to the first year, like with most pandos, I did a little poem to do the intro and outro. Mm-hmm. The players, fully aware of this, were sat down. I started reading from my sheet, and I finished the first verse, and next thing, Naomi chimes in and starts speaking in rhyme, and the two of us are going backwards and forwards, and the immense joy on my face when I looked next to me to see Danny and Emily having a full panic attack, because they're like, are we supposed to have lines? Because we did not tell them.
Excellent stuff.
Which was even better for Naomi and Liv, who were playing the same horse, for Liv to be like, you could have told me this.
This is a detail, listener. You may have lost it, the nuance. One half of the pantomime horse was secretly the villain. The other half didn't know anything about it.
The back half. The legs of the horse were evil the whole time. Yeah, so the preparation for this one was, I had my encounter, I wrote out the sort of the name of the panto slash fairy tale, the villain, the MacGuffin that our overall villain wanted, and a very quick description of the scene. That was it. I wrote exactly 1.5 A4 pages. And a lot of that was space. You may be able to tell this when you listen to it. There was, having seen how things went the first year, I was like, I do not need to put too much planning into this because, well, one, I'm not even the villain this time, Naomi is. She can come up with her own sort of like stuff as to why she's doing it, which then it turned out was just because she was evil. And yeah, everything else was just literally on the fly. It was just, okay, what do you guys do here? It also didn't help that the one thing I don't know why I didn't expect them, or why I didn't expect this, but there were some expectations I planned out, which is like, I expect them to ask about this, but not this. I fully expected them to ask for like NPC names, because everyone asks for stupid NPC names, so I made a whole joke around that. Nobody ever asked about it, so I had to prompt them to. And then the one thing they did ask about was, I described one of the NPCs saying, oh, the princess who was going to get married today has like been kidnapped or whatever, and a bunch of all the other guests have been attacked on the road. I fully expected them to just leave, and then they start asking, well, what other guests? I was like, Well, I can't just say I don't know, because the NPC has already told them that the guests have been attacked, so they must know who the guests are. So I had to, like, give away some of, like, this twists, air quotes. So I'd be like, oh, the Beast Prince and his princess, which is quite obviously Beauty and the Beast. So whenever they encountered a large lycanthropic monster attacking a young woman with a bunch of dancing, like, crockery, they were like, oh, that's clearly, like, the prince. He's not actually evil. And I was like, damn it. So, but still ended up being a very funny scene when Gaston, in air quotes, arrives and pretends to be the hero of the story, and Emily's character, Prince, capital P, not the symbol, is like, no, I'm the hero, how dare you?
So did you find yourself, so I mean, obviously, you can never take into account the behaviour of players, even when you're expecting them to do the thing that they always do, they won't. But did you have enough prep? Did you feel...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I actually had too much, if anything. My 1.5 pages of notes were too many, as it turned out. Especially when one of the first things Naomi describes is how the fact that her back half of the horse can detach from the front half, to which both me and Liv went, what? So yeah, I had too many notes, if anything. In fact, one of my favourite notes I actually brought up during the game towards the end, when they were asking about Goldilocks, who I made a villain, of course, breaking and entering. I had her statted out as an assassin, and they ask something about her, and I say, would you like to hear my notes on Goldilocks? They say, yes, Goldilocks. Breaking and entering, dabbles in arson.
There you go. Yep.
Those were my notes. I then had an NPC card with the assassin stat block on it. That was my Goldilocks notes.
I mean, if it works, it works, right?
I mean, listeners out there, if you go and give it a listen, you can tell me if it works, because it was certainly funny. I don't know if it worked.
And how does that compare? I mean, are you an over-planner normally, or are you a seat-of-the-pantser? How do you normally prep for a D&D session?
It fully depends. Like, I fully depend on, because, like, I do professional DMing as well now. Mm-hmm. So when I'm doing that, I run eight session arcs as part of each of our campaigns. They buy tickets for an arc or a campaign, which has to be 8 sessions. So I'm now quite used to, I've been doing that for over a year and a half now. I'm quite used to that whole, I have to tell a story in 8 sessions.
Yeah.
Because if it runs on, then they're not getting an end to their story. So I'm like, I'll have like the beats of the story prepped to a degree, but I know those might have to like swap, change, modify on the fly. I might have to improv an entire session because the party might do something I'm fully unexpecting. So it is very much dependent. I will always like try to plan out. If I'm telling a story, I at least need to know start, middle, and end. Like what's going to prompt them to take part in this? What do they need to accomplish in the middle, and how does it end? If that changes throughout because they do something unexpected, well, the ending is still 2, 3, 4 sessions away. I can modify that, but there needs to be a level of planning there just so you know what your goal is. But
sure,
sort of, I've become a lot better at sort of ad-libbing, flying by the seat of your pants, especially for comedy stuff, because it doesn't matter if it doesn't really make sense or work in the grand scheme of things, because you're just there for a laugh. You're not there to tell a coherent story most of the time. So for stuff like that, I fully don't care if it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to, as long as it makes people laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, I think when you've got everyone on board on a live show, you sort of know, it's fine. Whatever happens, I know where we're going to land. And if you end up going, and then a bunch of stuff was supposed to happen and it couldn't because we've run on because we spent too much time having a nice time with that, no one's going to go, well, that doesn't make any logical. You just accept that that's what happened, because everyone is here to watch not a seamless improv performance, but to watch idiots play D&D themed around the pantomime.
Very much. To the point where part of my intro poem references the princess being rescued, taking back and finishing her wedding, when in actuality what the group did was took the princess away and been like, you're not marrying him, we're just going away to Vegas or whatever. I was like, well, this bit of the poem no longer makes sense, but we're leaving it in.
On the experience of actually running the game, I'd love to hear your things, but it's almost a sort of out of body experience as it kind of just takes on an energy of its own. And for me, when I did it in 2022, it just went by in a flash. I was sort of just riding on the next gag, thinking, where's the next scene going to be? Vaguely holding in my head that I had an hour to fill and I needed to ideally not kill Jason in the first like scene, which was very nearly a danger, but equally knowing that part of the kind of, it's deeply pretentious to say part of the integrity of what I was doing, but it is, was that it's a game and it's on a dice roll. And as soon as you take that element away, just a kind of improv show of questionable quality.
Yeah.
Whereas that framing device of a game means that you're not in control. I mean, part of the beauty of what I was doing was that you can't prep for... I mean, I could have pre-rolled the scenes.
Yeah.
But that sort of takes away some of the fun. But other than that, I you can't prep for it.
No.
Because it's entirely dependent on what problem occurs and how the players kind of take it on. And then the surprising... I mean, the fact that Rose, who joined us, decided that her character only had one goal, and that was to marry Jason Statham.
Yeah.
Just totally threw me for a loop, and you kind of... But you've got to say yes, Anne. But yeah, just
yeah.
What is it like kind of running the live show, and particularly when the audience are responding and engaging?
So I'm going to... People hate me when I give this answer, because people talk about doing stuff live or in front of a crowd. I'm one of these people who has never had a problem with being in front of people, talking in front of people.
Sure.
So being in front of the crowd just made me feel more excited. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, there are more people listening to me now, and they can't leave because the show has started. And I was like, I just run on that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about like yeah, like being in control, having to watch that, whatever, there's literally a point when I think it's Liv says, this has just gone fully off the rails now, to which I scream, you two are a horse! This has never been on the rails! To which Liv says, fair. When it's stuff like that, like, I'm just fully, like, I'm having as much fun as the people in the audience. Mm. Like, I know I'm technically supposed to be the one controlling the game, but when you step into a game like that, you know, it's like, I'm not controlling anything. Like,
no, that's a fool's errand at the best of times, isn't it?
So long as we can, like, get to the final scene, like, that's a success. Like, there is no control here. Like, other than, luckily, like, I was very glad because Naomi had actually got her laptop up with her character sheet on it, and then had a little timer in the bottom that I could visibly see. It's like, ah, good, I can see that I have X amount of time left, which is not nearly enough to run all three of these encounters, so we're going to just whitewash one of these. But no, I'm just one of these guys. I've never had that like problem being in front of a crowd. As part of my uni degree, we had to do like presentation after presentation. I was like an officer in like the BB and stuff, so I was like constantly doing like lessons and giving like talks to people. So being in front of a crowd has never been an issue for me, and I never get that sort of like, oh, what's happening? It's just like, cool, there's more people listening to me now. I just need to make sure I make them laugh as well, and that's it. So that's as long as they're laughing, everything's fine.
Yeah. I think certainly for me, there was just a scary bit where I had to. It was, are people going to get on board with this?
Yeah.
The terrifying bit where is anyone going to turn up? But once you had enough people in, are people on board? And then when they were, it was sort of fine. And yeah, like I said,
yeah.
It was a bit of sort of out of body experience, as I'm holding way too many things in my head. So I just kind of knew, oh, I can't hold all these things in my head.
I'm just going to say them.
It was just, can I finish on time? Can I try and keep track of most of the rules? And can I think of something surprising for Jason Statham to do when the Statham die comes up? Because that happens a lot of the time. And he's already doing a series of pretty surprising things.
Yeah, you just have to get more and more outlandish with it. But yeah, no, there was literally a part, and this is a direct quote. At one point, Naomi turned to me towards the end and went, I'm taking narrative control away for a minute. I was like, fine. you're implying I have control of any of this? Like, you do you. Like, so yeah, it is such fun. And I do hope we get to do more live shows, not just at Dragon Meet, but just like, it is a very different game. Mm. A live show is very much a different game to do. Even like the professional games, even though that is like a set, I have to deliver this, it's still a game with players, like you're playing around a table. It's like you said, live show is a different thing. It's more like an improv show. The difference is you're just using the medium of a D&D game to do it. And you get away with more of them, and I really, really enjoy it. And I'm not going to lie, I like when I hear people laughing at my jokes, and when a room full of people does it, you feel really good about yourself.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's addicting.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Funnily enough, like obviously I've never actually like attended any convention as press. I always like attend to do it like with Podcast Zone. I attend to be Podcast Zone, UK Games Expo. I always like run games to get my tickets, and I still go and like talk to people as part of the podcast, but it's the games and stuff I run what get me in. So I've never been given stuff to do for free, but one of the best things that's ever happened to me as a podcast creator, and I don't even think they listened to the podcast, but when we did the live show, when the show was like before the show was starting, we had a group of, I want to say there were like a group of like early 20s. There was like four of them. They came up to me came up to our table in like an excited panic. It's like, are you guys doing the Panto again this year? I was like, yes, we saw it last year. It was great. We're coming back this year. I was like, oh my God. Well, it's at this time. So we'd like, just make sure you're here for them. They then queued to get in like, I think it was 20 minutes to half an hour before the show started, sat in the front row. And then when the show was over, one of the girls came up and said, we just wanted to give you this. I'm pointing above my head so that you can see it. But they came up and gave each of us this little knitted flower.
Adorable.
Which just so happens to be in our podcast colours. So it was like purple and yellow. And I nearly cried.
Yeah.
I don't even think they listened to the podcast zone. I think they just like the Panto.
Just
the fact that they came up and gave us this, I was like, anyone who actually listens to the episode, which is the recording, which is going to go out live tomorrow, when we record this for everyone else, it's happened already.
Oh, yeah, months ago.
If you listen to our recording of that, you'll hear at the end, as we're doing, like, we say the goodbyes to everyone, and it's like the sound's fading out. And there's like, you hear somebody mumble something near the mic, and then me go, like an excited shriek, because that's when they handed us the flower. And for someone who's never done like sort of any acting or like stage stuff or improv, having a means to do that by just rolling some clicky clacky dice rocks and making stupid innuendos is fantastic.
Yeah, strong, would recommend, but not at Dragon Meet. Do it somewhere else, that's our turf.
This is our slot.
Absolutely. But yeah, if you get the chance, listener, then to get involved in something like that, yeah, we both had a really good time doing it.
I will say as well, the feedback we had from all the shows, not just like ours, but I know like from last year as well, people who had seen Jason Statham's Big Vacation and all the other shows, I don't think there's been a show that we've had at Dragon Meet yet that people haven't enjoyed. So we're batting 100 here at the minute, and I don't know if that's a correct baseball term. We don't do baseball here, but we're doing well. People seem to be enjoying it. Yeah.
We don't, but I think that's what people say. Yeah, I think they talk about... Oh, sure, either way, big number. We're batting a big number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're doing well.
We are.
So, yeah, people are enjoying it. And it was one of the things you said about, like, obviously people getting on board with Jason Statham's Big Vacation. I think that's one of the things with it being, like, D&D the Panto, air quotes, is one of the reasons why we're able to draw people in. Even if they don't know what D&D is, which, at Dragon Meet, you would hope most people know what D&D
is.
Even people who don't know what your game is, you're still doing, like, a Panto. There are references there they get. Oh, by the way, my new favourite thing that came out of our live show that I am absolutely bringing into our D&D world is people snorting fairy dust like cocaine.
There you go. Hard to argue with that. Yep.
So, listeners, if that tickles your fancy, then you need to go and listen to this live show. I still can't get over that. I literally made the description of, like they do in Peter Pan, because it was a Peter Pan scene. I did a description of, like they do, where they pick Tinkerbell up and like shake her so the fairy dust comes off. I described that as the little boy in green picks up the fairy, like shakes her over the kid's head so they have fairy dust, and everyone laughed because of this idea of them just like grabbing her and shaking her violently. And then I think it was either Naomi or Emily, but one of them said, just snort a line of it. And that was it. We were gone. The rest of the show was about snorting fairy dust.
That is the sort of question to which there is only one answer, and it's yes.
Yes.
That wasn't what was happening, but now it is.
Oh, yeah. They're all doing bumps. And we then ended up describing... they ended up meeting a dwarf later who was very energetic. It's like, oh, he's been on the fairy dust. Like, oh, he loves pixie dust.
But yeah, so listener, do get along to, go to Dragon Meet. Dragon Meet's great.
Yes.
And when you do, go to one of the live shows. You will...
All the live shows. Just spend the day in the live show room.
Spend the day in the live shows. yeah, absolutely. You could do some shopping in between. There's like a half hour slot at some point.
15 minutes.
you will guarantee to have a good time. They're a lot of fun, and turning up, you will absolutely cheer up a bunch of people who are particularly, Three Black Halflings as a headline. I think if they put on a show, they kind of do expect to fill the room, and they did, and rightly so. It was great. But the person who is doing their podcast as a live show does not expect to fill rooms full of audience. So if you turn up, you will absolutely cheer them up, and you will have a good time as well. So
absolutely. We can guarantee that.
Yes. Guarantee, if you turn up to a D20 Future Show live performance, you will improve my mood by being there. Each and every one of you. Because
And you'll have a good time.
And yes, a money back guarantee, you'll have a good time.
that's the cost of the live show, not the ticket to Dragon Meet.
Yeah, no, I will not pay for your ticket to Dragon Meet if you don't have a good time. I'm not responsible for that. Only entry to my show. But yeah, we will...
Which is free.
It is free. Yeah, I hope to put a live show or be involved in a live show next year. I absolutely acknowledge that I've had my turn, and there's lots of other people who also want their turn doing so.
Oh, stuff them. If I get the chance, I'm doing the Panto again. It's so much fun.
I was sent a very nice email by the organisers pretty much saying, we're really sorry, but some other people need to have a go. And I was... I absolutely didn't need it. I totally get it.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly, I'm not famous. I didn't pack out the room. Although we had enough to have a good show. I did not expect to kind of fill a room and bigger.
Yeah, I think we did say this the first year. You very much got the tough job of being the first show in the morning of the first year we've done live shows.
Yes.
And like, no offense to the guys at Dragon Meet. Obviously, they do massive work to put the con on. The first year for the live shows, there was no mention of the live shows on the Dragon Meet website or pretty much any of the like published stuff on the day. It was very much word of mouth or the guys putting on the show doing the advertising for it. So the very first show, first thing in the morning, when nobody knows it's there, was a hard room to fill.
It was. And there was also a train cancellation or something. There was some big train issue that meant that people arrived late as well.
Yeah, we at least had the benefit the first year of having 5 hours to stand at our table and yell.
it was a strange thing to do. But if I get the opportunity... I'll do it again. I won't stand aside for somebody, but I absolutely acknowledge the organisers may want to choose someone else's show. Because, I don't have a divine right to perform to my adoring fans.
I think we need Jason Statham back next year.
I'm fully behind the idea. Fully behind the idea, and we'll be looking to gather a cast.
Tell you what, if you don't, you can come and be in the Panto as Jason Statham.
I mean, I'm in.
You can be our faux celebrity guest on this Panto.
Exquisite.
I need to write this down. This is a really good idea, actually.
Cancel Jason Statham live. This is what I'm doing next year. I'm on board. Jason Statham, my impression will be every bit as good. I have a bald cap. I don't know what you want from me.
Just that. That's everything. That's all. Excellent. I can desire.
I may have to watch In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege tale as preparation. I understand it's not good.
Or just what's the one he does? What's the one he does where he's got like the bomb in his heart wired or something?
That's Crank.
Crank, that's the one. Just what's that? Just coming full energy.
Yeah, I
doing shots of adrenaline.
Hard to believe, Jordan, but I'm not entirely sure I have the body to be topless for an entire performance and for everyone to have a good time.
Well, see, the problem is now I'm going to insist on it. Do you know what you need? You need one of those like blow up muscle suits.
I mean, I have 12 months to get in shape.
I mean, that's what I tell myself every year. It's not worked yet.
Either way, we've got very much... were there any rails in this conversation? We've got up them. But either way, the live shows are great fun. We have a great time doing them. The audience seems to have a pretty good time attending.
Absolutely.
Would recommend, and do track down Jordan's show, which by the time you listen to this will be available on all good, neutral and evil podcast platforms.
I will also be putting it on YouTube, but audio only. We didn't get video for this one.
Well, Jordan, thank you so much for discussing your experience of the live show and Dragon Meet and so on. Assuming that our listeners have fallen in love with your gorgeous voice and they want to know more about your podcast, where can they find out what about you?
So me personally, I am at Wish I Was a Bard on most socials. I post very, very rarely, very, very rarely, because I handle the socials for the podcast. I don't do it often enough on that either. But I handle all the podcast socials as well, which is at Modified Rule. You can get us on most of the social medias, except Facebook, because I refuse. And I'm going off Twitter as well, because damn.
I was going to say, yeah, Facebook, that's the evil one.
I mean, we have a Twitter. I don't really post on it now, because Twitter.
Yeah.
It's mostly Instagram now. I started trying to use Threads, and then realised I am bad at social medias, so it's mostly Instagram when I remember. But yeah, if you wanted to contact us for any reason, at Modified Rule, or you can get us on emails, modifiedrule@gmail.com. But yeah, our podcast is obviously just Modified Rule. We are, as far as I'm aware, on most, if not all, podcasting apps, feeds, whatever you want to call them. And if we're not on the one you use, tell me. I'll put it on there. I don't care. But yeah, I think that's about it for where to find us, at least.
All right. Great. Modified Rule, lots of fun. They once had me on as a guest voice for some reason.
Oh, you were one of the dragons, I believe.
I was one of the dragons. I was the Sapphire Dragon.
Yes. You were one of the dragons for our introduction episode for our Season 2 characters. You were part of the Dragon Council that introduced part of Jordan's, our other Jordan, not me, our other Jordan's backstory, who is an Amethyst Dragonborn monk.
There you go.
Yeah, for anyone who's bought or read the Wizards of the Coast book, Fizban's Treasury of Dragons, or Fizban's Big Book of Scaly Lizards, there is the elegy of the dragons at the start, which is how the dragons sort of tell the story of the worlds coming into being and all that cool stuff. And I had a bunch of other podcasters come on and read lines in Voices of Dragons. And Rich was one of them and did a fantastic job.
And then I think the other thing to worth mentioning, given that if you are listening to this, you have at least a passing interest in actual play podcasts.
Of course.
Is Actual Play UK.
Yes.
The live stream that used to be a Discord server.
Yes, that's pretty much how I describe it. We were originally a Discord, I'm now referring to it as a very loose network because we're sort of being recognised officially in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We are a very loose network of UK and a little bit further abroad. We've got Ireland and some people in Western Europe in there, of TTRPG creators, so podcasters, streamers. We've even just got some people who are publishers in there now to share their games and meet people who might run their games. But yeah, we have since developed into a live stream thanks to the beautiful, talented John from the Trolls of the Two-Ton Bridges, who came along one day and said, "Can I make a stream?" And I went, "Absolutely, you can." And I very much sort of on the admin side, John does all of the tech. He is the one person who makes it a stream. I'm just sort of there in the background modding the Discord and handling some of the admin stuff. We try to stream weekly. We've had some illnesses and stuff that have prevented that, and we're on a bit of a break now over the Christmas period. But we stream weekly on a Friday. And the beautiful thing is, the concept behind this live stream is to be a collaborative effort between all of these different amazing creators around the country. So every single show is a mismatch of players and DMs from different shows coming together to play games that they don't often get to play. Because strangely enough, when you get a bunch of people together who play D&D regularly and say, "You can run whatever game you want," they go, "Thank God!" And then they pick literally anything but Dungeons & Dragons. That isn't to say that we don't all love Dungeons & Dragons, but it's nice to try all these other, like, Rich knows he plays all of them, all these other amazing role-playing games that most of us never get the time to do.
Well, this is it. It is that I, when I was invited on, ran Dungeons & Dragons.
I know, which was, I find very funny, by the way, because you can always like, "Yeah, I'm going to run one of my Project Silly Adventures." I was like, "That's hilarious," because me and you are so far the only D&D live streams that have been on that, so. Yeah, we have all these people come along. Every show is a one and or two shot, generally, except for the Delta Green campaign, which John runs, and he's allowed to do this because he runs the stream. They run every Thursday, and they've been sort of doing an ongoing campaign in Delta Green. But yeah, we've had some amazing games on the show, or on the stream so far, including things like Pirate Borg, Solemn Veil. We've done, Delta Green was on the stream, and then on the Thursdays, one of the favorite concepts.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was at this point, listener, that Discord decided to melt down and stopped working. So, Actual Play UK have run Vassen, Veil, Final Girl, Lovecraft-esque, Pirate Borg, and so on. Loads and loads of stuff, including very occasionally Dungeons & Dragons, which one of which you can watch me running through my adventure, Drakes on a Plane, in which the players travel to a different plane of reality that is being plagued by drakes. Do check out Actual Play UK. If you are a podcaster or creator, then do reach out to Jordan and get yourself added to the Discord server. It's a really useful resource. And so it only remains for me to say thank you so much for your time, Jordan. It's been a joy catching up.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure to finally get invited.
Thanks very much, Jordan. Thanks once again to Jordan for his time. Do check out Modified Role, particularly the D&D The Pantomime episodes, which are delightful chaos with plenty of charm. And of course, Actual Play UK on Twitch and YouTube. Catch you next time on the D20 Future Show. Their more recent one, I was going to say, my players, if you're listening, don't, but my players don't listen to this podcast. They are passive consumers only of my podcast.